The thing that hurts my heart most is that that will keep them from, like, even trying to come in the relationship with God.
Welcome to Kingdom Conversations Quadcast. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis. And this week, we will be continuing our discussion on lust versus attraction. If you missed last week's episode, I highly recommend you go back, check it out, catch up on where we're at in the conversation, as we will be jumping in right where we left off. So perhaps we are not actually qualified or even should attempt to make this ruling of judgment. But if we believe that lust is a sin and attraction is not a sin, where does that leave us with same-sex attraction?
Awesome question. So give me my 3 minutes. I personally believe that same-sex attraction is not in and of itself a sin, because I believe that a person can be same-sex attracted without having that be any choice of their own whatsoever. And while I don't think it's a sin, I think it's just a result of a fallen world. So while I think that it's not something that is beneficial to people that struggle with same-sex attraction, like myself, I myself am same-sex attracted, but that's like a longer story. It'll take longer than 3 minutes. But it was never something that I could control. I never wanted to control it. I don't remember ever. I can remember the first time I kind of was aware of it, and I was aware of it very, very strong. And it was not a choice. And I feel like it just happened the same way people and the same way I am attracted to men. It's just there. It's just in me. I think I got a lot of control over that because I have chosen to not engage in any kind of same-sex sexuality, or I don't engage it. And I actually almost never did. Maybe some little tiny things here and there, but I've never had sex with a woman. Like I'm saying, it was not ever something that I chose. I feel like it was innate or possibly biological. I don't think that, biblically speaking, for how I believe the Bible talks about homosexual sin, I don't think that the attraction itself is sinful. And there's a whole lot of people that will disagree with that, but that's where I stand on that. And I stand very, very firmly on that. Any questions?
And in under 3 minutes.
In 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
For me, almost everything you said, I completely agree with. Mm-hmm. I might even go a little further than what you said, but, you know, I am, you know, my... We had this Bible conversation already.
You could tell our listeners. Do you want to go there for our listeners? It's a hard subject. It's a subject, and it's a subject that is very personal to me, because I feel so strongly that, oh my goodness, if you tell people that have same-sex attraction, that the attraction is itself, that the attraction is a sin, and they're telling you, I was born this way. Whether we feel like we were born this way, I mean, it was never something that was a choice. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago in the Christian community, it was just absolutely, this is a choice. And it is so not a choice. And I think we've come a little bit further, but in a sense, I think a lot of Christians are just so stuck. And every time I say this online, every time I try to have this discussion online, I am bombarded. It's always a man, and it's always just being absolutely bombarded. I love you, sister. Thank you for sharing your testimony. I'm so glad you've had healing and are married to a man. And I'm like, you don't even get what I'm saying if you're talking like that, because I've always been attracted to men. I didn't get healed and then attracted to my husband. I've always been attracted to men. But when you trying to tell people that this thing that they cannot control is a sin, even when someone like myself who has never engaged in that attraction, engaged in those desires, because I have chosen, before being a Christian, I chose not to engage in them because I didn't want to shame my father. And now that I'm a Christian, I chose it because I personally believe that having sex with somebody that is the same sex as I am would be sinful, the same way as having sex with somebody that is the opposite sex as me that I wasn't married to would also be a sin. So when I became a Christian, I chose to wait to have sex until I got married to my amazing husband sitting on my left, because he's hot. Look at him. He's hot.
Come on. Thank you, baby.
But it's so challenging to continually get these people that'll just tell me, no, the attraction itself is a sin. And so I will tell them, give me an example from the Bible, and they can never do it. I've never had one single person be able to do it. They just talk in circles and never answer my question. Mm. And so anyway, that was over 3 minutes.
That was, yes.
Sorry, you guys.
Like when you said nobody can ever find anything in the Bible that says that attraction to the same sex is a sin, it's because in the context of the Bible where they talk about homosexual activity, it's usually, or always is, and I haven't done like a search recently, but in one verse I was just looking at, it immediately follows discussion of lust and acts of lust.
Right.
So I think that's where it gets into this area where it's very hard for us to know what's in someone's heart or in their mind. And so I personally choose to not try to do that. I mean, like Curtis was saying, obviously if you have a friend who's, you know, sleeping around with people and hurting people, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, there's, and that's independent if it's hetero or homosexual relationship. So
agreed.
But like we were mentioning before we started this podcast, there's other scenarios where people have made choices to like live a life with somebody that they love that happens to be the same sex. And I can't find context in the Bible to really guide that in the same way that you're saying that. So I don't think I need to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just happy that they're with someone that they love. I hope that they can have a relationship with God. And if there's something going on there that shouldn't be, then God will help work that out in their hearts. But, you know, that can happen both ways, like with homosexual and heterosexual relationships. So I guess I didn't hear everything you said earlier.
No, that was really good. I loved all that. Do you guys want to say anything?
I want to say something.
I want to say something too, but just time yourself.
Okay. Go ahead, because maybe after you guys talk, I won't want to say it anymore.
Go ahead, Sean.
I appreciate everyone's comments. I been thinking about that. I had always saw, where I saw homosexual, that sexual activity, not what God intended when he made people. So when I would say something is a sin, I would say like missing the mark, like what God originally intended for sexual relations to be defined by. So I would see homosexual sex as not what God had originally intended. And yet this is a kind of a hard thing for me as well. The love aspect where people love each other and care for each other, and that aspect, God's all for how we love and care and do that. So I just would want to add that piece to it. So I would see homosexual sex as not what God had intended when he had for sexual activity. And that's why it's, and all of our relations, we talked about what is our purpose, to glorify God, to kind of mirror what God, things that God set up. So that's how I would see that as, sinful. And yet at the same time, I'm in this weird place of not like ostracizing or condemning in this way, but loving, being loving, because that's important. But I just wanted to add that little piece from how I'd mm-hmm. seen that and different ways of how I see things described in God's word about relationships, like in Romans and different passages, which talks about things which show what God didn't intend, or at least it suggests that. And there's a lot of things that go on in the world that, you know, was off from what God originally had set up, and we live in a fallen world and stuff. But I'm all for, we got to love people regardless of whatever that is. And so it grieves my heart about how some in the Christian community will relate to the homosexual community in these hatred type mm-hmm. things, which is so anti-God. So I have that dual thing going on for myself, where I see it as not what God intended, yet at the same time, we need to love each other. And this kind of hatred towards people based on their sexual orientation is just, it's flat out wrong. It's anti-God. So,
all right. First off, I'm attracted to women. Like,
oh man, I was getting ready for a surprise there.
Well, I was raised to treat people with love and respect, no matter what mm-hmm. they looked like or how they acted differently. That's how my mom raised me. She married a Mexican and lived in a time where that was frowned upon. You know?
Yeah.
So that's how I was raised. I went to high school and my locker was right next to a gay kid who would literally wear a tutu and fairy wings to high school. And I was nice to him. Like mm-hmm. I would be completely respectful and talk to him and laugh at jokes, like just be human to this person. And I would get picked on in school and be called gay and everything else that goes mm-hmm. along with those derogatory comments, so much so that I got confused and tried to figure out, well, am I gay? And I can tell you, I am most definitely not gay. Like I had a conversation with the gay kid next in the locker. I was like, maybe I am. He's like, are you attracted to boys? I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, look at that. Does that make you have any feelings in your pants? I'm like, no. He's like, you're not gay. I was like,
He knew how to test you. Kind of help clarify.
He's like, you like that or you like that over there? I'm like, that over there. Yeah. So, I mean, just from the fact that that kid was so confident in his homosexuality because that's just who he was. It came natural to him. Mm-hmm. You are naturally attracted to both sexes. Like right. I cannot take my own viewpoint of the world and say, and interpret scripture based on that. Like I don't like everybody. There's like, everybody's different. And there's all sorts of brokenness in all of these categories. So I don't know. It's really hard for me to lay down judgment on that. But I mean, there are issues, and I'm going to go over time on this. I know it. But when it comes to certain verses that talk about homosexuality being a one-way ticket to hell, that is where we get into some really sticky situations with the LGBT community, because we will take that as literal English translation. This is what it says. This is what it means. And I mean, you guys already know, like, I don't necessarily look at a lot of the epistles in that way. Other people will bring out the Old Testament scriptures and talk about, well, it was an abomination in the Old Testament. And mm-hmm. I have to go back to the idea that we are not living under Old Testament law of, that's not what I see Jesus coming to do. I mean, tearing the curtain to me was huge, and not just to the point where that doesn't have to be in the temple. It is to the point of, this is establishing the new covenant of God with his creation, so that we are no longer bound by these laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I mean, we can't wear clothes of blended material. We can't cut the hair on our temples. We can't get tattooed. Like, there's so many things in there that we're not supposed to do that we let go of. But when it comes to the gay stuff, it really creeps us out. So we got to keep that in. Like, I mean, I think it's personal bias for a lot of people.
Agreed. I think it is personal bias. For me personally, I had my biggest struggle with same-sex attraction after I'd been a Christian for a couple of years and was really, really strong, where I felt like I was really grounded and I wasn't having any trouble. And I'm saying trouble because obviously I personally believe that any sex outside of one man and one woman in a marriage relationship is a sin. I don't think homosexual sex is any worse of a sin than two unmarried people that are one man, one woman. They're all just sin. Anyway, I have personally come to this point where for me, after having my biggest struggle after becoming a Christian and just having this person in my life, this girl in my life, that I was just extremely attracted to her. She's just a very beautiful person. Like, her, just who she was as a person was very beautiful to me too. Nothing happened, but the way that nothing happened was I had gotten to a point when I first became a Christian where I chose to give God sex. That was like before I became a Christian, that was like a huge thing, was I don't want to not date. I don't not want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or I never have had a girlfriend, but I didn't want to give that up. And that was something that I had felt inside of me. You're not going to be able to, you know, be sleeping with like, three different people at the, anyway, we can cut that out, but you know what I mean? I couldn't have booty calls. This is going to go so over 3 minutes. No booty calls once you become a Christian. And I was just not there in my life because my attention that I was getting from men through sexual relationships was how I fed the emotional need inside of me. When I became a Christian, I chose to give God that emotional need that I was feeding through sex. And when I go to different events or I go to different Christian functions or I read books and I speak with people that are also gay, that are also bisexual, that are also same-sex attracted, there's two camps. So there's the camp that believes like I do that sex is only supposed to be between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship. And there is another camp that believes that you can be Christian, you can be born again, and you can live a active homosexual lifestyle. What I have found in the difference in these two camps is that they both love Jesus. That's a similarity. They do. They both love Jesus. But I have found that in one camp, people are willing to give everything to God. They're willing. There's nothing in their life that they choose to hold on to. They're willing to open their hands and their hearts and give everything to God. And in one of the other camps, I see that these people are not willing to give their sex life to God. And that's why I have chosen the route that I go and the decision to believe how I do is because I believe as when I became born again, I wanted to give everything to God. I wanted to give my desires, all of my love, even if it meant that I was going to be single for the rest of my life. I wanted to give that to God. And that's what I see is the difference in the two Christian camps where people are same-sex attracted.
Do you think if you confronted them, like, mm-hmm. that's like what you observed, and it uh-huh. could be a correct observation, but I'm guessing that the other camp wouldn't agree. Or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just wondering.
I think they would say, the ones that I have spoken to, like actually had conversations with, they say that they don't feel that they have to choose, or that God wouldn't want them to choose, that God would want them to be sexually satisfied or in a relationship.
I'm wondering.
But that they, I think that many of them would understand where I'm coming from and maybe reword it, but agree with it in some ways, but they would probably be offended with how I'm presenting it.
Yeah, I'm just being honest. One of the things that I always come back to is kind of similar to what Curtis said, like Curtis is attracted to women and I've only been attracted to men. And so that's where I'm like, I really don't know, because I have no idea what this other person may be feeling. I don't know if there's like a spectrum.
A sexual spectrum.
Well, I mean, there are. Oh. I mean, there is there like is. People that are bisexual that can be attracted to both. And then there's other people that say that they are not attracted to the opposite sex at all. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if like those might be some of the people that are in this like other camp that you're talking about, or where they might come to a different conclusion just on how they're wired and how their brain is wired. And but I don't know. That's where I'm just like, this is like outside of my personal experience. Yeah. So that's where I'm just like, I just know that I really liked Curtis's story, because it seemed like everybody, you were nice to this. You were like doing exactly what the Bible teaches us to do and be kind to your neighbor at the locker, and society saw that and called you gay. I mean, it's just like, so apparently being gay, it means that you're just a nice person and that you're like, you're a decent human being. But I don't know. I just laughed at that a little bit, but because I think what we see is that a lot of the gay community are actually very kind, decent people. And it sounded like the conversation you had with that person was like, he was like being respectful to like, okay, like, let me help you figure this out. And he was like, no, you're not. You know, so it was like, I just can't even fathom like having, I don't know, even like the sexual awareness at that age. Like, so there's all sorts of questions that come in my mind about like, how does somebody like, when do they start to know? And like, how did I feel about the other sex at younger ages? And just even now being a parent and hearing about like, some kids that are more interested in boys or girls, like in the opposite sex, like just, I'll be talking to my other mom friends and, you know, one of them has a son who's like 13 and has shown no interest in boys, I mean, or girls, no interest in until like recently. And they're starting to be like like a little bit of crush on this girl, you know, and they're like, we're talking to some other parent and if Cadence's class, and she's only like 7, and they were talking about, she was like saying, oh yeah, they were talking about the boys. And I'm like, Cadence never talks about the boys. Like, she has not showed any interest in
And don't you ever be talking.
Yet. But yeah, like, at what age do you get like the sexual awareness, and like, how does society influence that? And like, how do your personal experiences influence that? Like, it's like such a hard question. Like, I have no idea. I only have like my own experience to go by. So I just try to listen to people and like believe what they're telling me. That like the thing that hurts my heart most is that will keep them from like even trying to come in the relationship with God. Because it's such a clear line. But yeah, it's so hard, because like I also, you know, agreed with everything Sean was saying. Like, I don't think that's the way it was intended to be, especially when you talk about being able to procreate. But does that mean it's wrong? I don't know. So this is a hard one for me. I just don't know. So
I just wanted to dovetail off that if I, I hope I'm not interrupting you, Sally, but
no, it's done.
That idea of where you can disagree with something is see that as not correct and yet at the same time be loving, which is hard for us to pull off. Parents, I think, have a tendency to get it more than someone else because they can see something maybe that their kid does that they disagree with and yet at the same time love them. So that just that part where I would say they're saying this is maybe not, this is not what God intended. At the same time, the love aspect, how do I care? How do I love that? Because hatred certainly is not of God. And that most definitely is a fact. I mean, I can say that, you know, God is love. This hatred aspect and what that does and that, how that causes us to relate to and treat each other, I can say that unequivocally is wrong. And it's hard to escape from our worldview. You know, we, you know, if I have this thing, I've always been attracted to women. So it makes this thing that I have no experience of, this homosexuality aspect, these desires, I have no understanding of that. And we tend to lash out as a species about, you know, things that we haven't experienced personally or been part of our worldview or culture. It seems to be typical in a lot of ways to either poke at that or tear that down. So our worldview shapes some things. And yet on the flip side, I would say just because I feel something is right, good, and true, is it? Who defines what is right, good, and true? And that's just a question I wanted to leave out there is who's the lawgiver? Who's the standard provider? Or who is the definer of rights? And this is what, this is proper, this is improper. And what are we going to go to for that? That'll define for us mm-hmm. our limits of where we go, I think, in a lot of ways. So
Jesus is just so beautiful. When I like really got Jesus and I had gone to church one night and the pastor got a word from the Lord that I was bulimic and he was telling me all kinds of things. He was describing the inside of my apartment. He was telling me how much God loved me, and he was describing a time that I was laying on my floor having a conversation with God. And I knew just so deeply within a moment that God was really real, like truly real, and that he cared about me. And it was just so much pure and intense love that there was absolutely nothing that could compete with that. There was nothing, and there still hasn't been anything that can compete with that. And that is personally why it is so important for me to try to distinguish between attraction and lust, because I believe that you absolutely can be same-sex attracted and not be living in sin. And I believe that it's important to me because for some people, like myself, it's easy. I'm just as attracted to men as I am to women. I don't really think about women. I'm not that attracted. I rarely feel that attraction anymore. I haven't felt it for a long time. So people could say that's very easy for you. You're happily married. But there are people that they come to God and they love God and they have just been told over and over that just that innate attraction that they're feeling is a sin, and they feel this overwhelming thing that God made them wrong, that they're a mistake, and they're not. You're not a mistake. This is just what I believe is something biological, and you may get to a point in your life where you don't feel these attractions anymore, and you may have them for the rest of your life. And God is there. He's there with you. He is there through the struggle and in the struggle, and he's greater than the struggle. And what, however you choose to live your life, God is there. And for me, just to have had so many Christians tell me that the actual attraction itself is a sin was just the most damaging thing I'd ever heard. So that's why it's important to me. And that's honestly why I wanted to talk about this subject.
Well, I'm just going to throw in some quick comments. Sean said that it's not the way it's intended to be. Sally picked up on that and says she also agrees with it. And honestly, like, I don't even know if that's a relevant point, because we are not living in the world the way it's supposed to be. The world is not the way it's supposed to be. Like, it is a broken, fallen world. And, like, I don't know. We were made one man, one woman to go and fill the earth and subdue it. And now we're at the point where countries are looking at running out of water because there's not enough water to take care of all the people and all the crops and all the cattle. Like, I mean, job's done, like, in my opinion.
Like, good point.
Just to be honest with you, like, and I, when I laughed about the sexual spectrum, I think is, I just thought it was fun, like a fun word or a fun phrase. I totally believe there's a sexual spectrum, and I will even go so far as to say I believe that there's some sort of gender fluidity that's going on these days, because my niece Andrea has opened up and really become a vibrant person after becoming Andrea. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's not me. It's not my perspective. I cannot grasp what's going on in other people's journeys to the point that they can, to the point that God can speak into their life. And our job is not to do that. Our job is to help facilitate them into a relationship with God so God can speak into their life. That's just my two cents on that. But anyway, that is going to do it for this episode, because we have gone way over time. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us. You can always catch us on the Facebook or on kingdom-conversations.com. Please, please, please tell your friends about this show and keep sharing the good news. I was going to say keep liking and sharing our stuff, but let's be honest, keep sharing the good news. And that's really what we're supposed to be doing anyway. So
amen.
Amen.